If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Zach on Film. Joining us, like always, Steven Schleicher.
Hello.
What's up, Steven?
Not a whole lot this week. We're diving into films that inspired Logan.
Films that we believe inspired Logan.
Well, that's what the director had said.
Oh, he did
films,
say
films that had inspired this.
Oh, okay. Well, even better.
Yeah. So this week we are taking a look at The Cowboys.
Yeah.
It's a 1972 Western starring John Wayne as a Montana rancher who needs to get his cattle to market, but because of a recent gold strike, everyone has fled the territory to go strike it rich.
Right.
And the only people that John Wayne can find are a bunch of 12 to 15-year-olds.
Yeah, he has people set up to go with him, but then like only a scattering of them show up.
Yeah.
And then they show up with their tail between their legs and like, "Well, Mr. Wayne, sir, you're not paying us as much money as we would like, and we heard there might be gold up in the river, so deuce, man."
So we're going to, basically they were like, we'll come back and do it if you can give us like 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah,
you know, sure. Give us 3 weeks to kick around up there. And if we don't find anything, we'll come back. And he's like, I got to get my cattle to market. I can't wait for you for 3 weeks to decide whether you're going to come back or not. And so he finds these cowboys, these young kids, one of them being Robert Carradine, who would grow up to be the star of Revenge of the Nerds. That's probably the film most people know.
That's
Slim,
cool.
Slim, the main kid, Robert Carradine.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. But that's where most people know him from.
A few people, actually mainly one. The other big name in this is Bruce Dern.
Right.
Who is in it, if I wouldn't have seen that's Bruce Dern, I probably would have never guessed that was Bruce Dern.
Yes.
But the only other person I knew is his character in the film is named Ants.
Yeah.
And that's Slim Pickens. Yeah. And the only reason I know Slim Pickens is from Blazing Saddles.
Oh, because of his voice.
Yeah.
No, it's really interesting. I mean, they do have some interesting names in here. Again, Bruce Dern is, for regular listeners, what was it, The Lottery? What was the name of that movie that he was in?
He was just in Nebraska.
Nebraska, that's it.
Yeah.
So people would know him most recently from that. So if you want to see a younger, meaner, gonna kill John Wayne version of Bruce Dern, you can go and see them as Ans Peterson, the leader of a group of people who supposedly just got out of jail and are looking for honest work. But because they come up to John Wayne and lie to him, he's like, I don't want to have anything to do with a liar. And so they're going to get their revenge by wrestling up a bunch of other ne'er-do-wells. And they're going to steal the herd from Wayne and his cowboys, and they're going to get the money for themselves.
Yeah, it seems like a big risk for Longhair and his troop. It's like, well, we're just going to bank that he's not actually going to hire anyone else besides his little kids, and we're going to hire a bunch of other guys to follow us around with just trusting us that maybe we'll still steal all these cattle and can take them to market.
I think that's why they're following them for, you know, it's like what do they say is like 40 days or something to get the cattle to market or something like that. So, you know, they're following them for a good month.
Yeah.
Up until the final haul. I mean, if you figure if it's 40 days out, they're following them for 20 days because they're 3 or 4 days out from their destination. And that's when they decide that it's time that, hey, you've taken them this far. Now it's time for us to take over and get this back from you. I can understand where the bad guys are coming from in this film. And if you're figuring, what, $15 a head for 400 head of cattle in 1880-something, when this movie is taking place, that's pretty good bank.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad plan. You just got to pull the long con and hope there's like some variables that don't go wrong for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, you're working on low funds. You just got out of jail. And so hopefully you can scrounge up enough food to follow these people for like a month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying,
And they could maybe probably live off the land.
Maybe they could have robbed a bank and just like robbed like a small convenience store, stole some money.
They probably didn't have 7-Elevens back then.
Yeah, but they had like Ants' store. They could have went and robbed him.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm just wondering. They didn't have like a wagon to follow these kids. Where's all their food?
Well, they're probably
worried about their nutrition.
Probably rabbits and stuff are rampant, so they can wrestle up some squirrels or some rabbits.
Yeah,
to feed themselves. So they're probably used to roughing it.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Speaking of food, the other actor that appears in here is Roscoe Lee Brown as Jebediah Nightlinger, the cook for the cattle drive.
Nightlinger is a dope name.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, that's what your RPG character name one needs to be, is Nightlinger.
Nightlinger is a black man who is a cook. And so there are some moments of both casual and right up in your face racism. In fact, towards the end of the movie, they are going to hang him, do a lynching on him. But there's some casual racism in there where the first time that the boys, this is probably the first black person that they've ever seen.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah.
Are you black all over? You know, they're asking those kinds of questions. And so Nightlinger and Wayne's character, and Mr. Anderson, Will Anderson. Will Anderson.
Yeah, I know. I even looked it up, but surely someone has done a mashup between the Cowboys and the Matrix. The Matrix Cowboys needs to happen.
I don't think anyone's done that yet.
The internet's a weird place. Someone's probably done it.
They are really the only parental people on this cattle drive. The oldest person is 15.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one over 15 years of age in this. And so the parents are all okay with this happening. The kids are going to get paid $50 to do it. So again, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And for some of these people, maybe that's to help the family as well.
Sure.
And so each of the kids has their own issues. You know, you got a kid who stutters all the time. You got a kid who's got poor eyesight. You got a kid who's overweight. You got a kid that, you know, wants to fight your mama all the time.
Right. One kid that's just short.
Yes, one kid that has just been, he's probably like 10.
Yeah, he's really young.
In this, and he's got the biggest gun, right?
Yeah, right.
He's got the biggest, baddest gun. And so, in the process, these cowboys are going to become men throughout the course of this film. They're going to learn something about what it takes to be responsible. They're going to learn what it takes to be grown up. And they're going to learn that, apparently, in order to become a man, you have to kill a man.
Right.
Which is kind of the final 20 minutes of the film where the outlaws have stolen the cattle.
Mm-hmm.
They've killed John Wayne's character while Nightlinger was his wagon wheel had broken. And so he was way behind. And so the kids decide that they're just going to go in and get the cattle back, deliver them to market, and they're going to murderize all of the rustlers, which they do.
So there's definitely like some parallels to Logan that we'll get into, but just like right in the plot. So John Wayne gets in the fight with Longhair, right?
Mm-hmm.
Longhair kills John Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad. They steal all the cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bury John Wayne.
Right.
Then they're all essentially going to go home. Wayne tells Nightlinger, like, get these kids home.
Right.
Like, this you need to do.
Right.
As they're about ready to head home, all the kids just jump Nightlinger. And I go, kids, what do you do? What is happening? Are they going to kill Nightlinger?
Suddenly it's become Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, it was very strange. I was like, what is happening to these kids? But essentially, apparently there was a whole box of just like long rifles that Nightlinger had in his...
Yeah, because when they first came to Anderson's ranch and they all had guns, he's like, look, we're going to box all these up. They're going to be locked up in the chuck wagon. Right. You guys don't have to worry about them.
Yeah.
And so they knew that that's where their guns were this entire time.
So,
So
they take all these and like, well, we're going to go kill some cowboys. This is my problem with the cowboys.
Okay.
Is Logan, I thought, was great in that you set up the big battle.
Mm-hmm.
You have the big battle.
Mm-hmm.
Your hero dies.
Yeah.
The lesson is learned.
Right.
End on kind of a downer.
Right.
Right. And I thought that worked really well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Cowboys was going for it. You have this fight set up. The hero dies. And not even a hero. It's like John Wayne, the ultimate American hero.
This is one of the few films where he actually dies on screen.
Yeah. And I thought they were going ultimate downer. Like, bury John Wayne.
Yeah.
The kids, you wasted a month of your life.
Yeah.
Now you have to go home.
Right.
But then they have the shootout.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, You got it wrong. You should have had the shootout, yeah, have Wayne die.
Okay. Well, no, I don't think so. I think that, you know, in this case, these kids who have all along through this adventure have been belittled and chastised and, you know, just basically being told off by John Wayne. But mm-hmm. each time he's doing it, they're learning a life lesson. So they're right. growing. So right. their final lesson is that you've got to be bigger and stronger than the other guy, mm-hmm. because John Wayne is like, oh, man, I'm 60 years old and I can whoop your right. behind, Nebraska man.
Nebraska.
And he pretty much does
until he cheats,
pulls out a gun and starts shooting John Wayne in the back.
A lot.
and so, you know, this lesson for these kids is, here's a man that has given us this opportunity, who has tried to protect us, who's tried to teach us, who is giving us this opportunity to be real men. Mm-hmm. We need to avenge his death. And so that's why they go into, let's get these cattle back. And if it means we have to kill these guys, and we're going to kill these guys.
Yeah, that was good. It did work. I just thought the movie lost its emotional punch at the end.
Right.
If they could have done it like this, if the kid with the glasses, mm-hmm. early in the film, right. gets taken by Longhair, right?
Right?
And he's like, don't you tell anyone, I'm going to come kill you.
Yeah.
What if instead he doesn't give the kid with glasses, he didn't let him go,
mm-hmm.
he keeps him,
mm-hmm.
goes to Mr. Anderson,
mm-hmm.
and says, hey, give us your cattle and I won't slit this little child's throat. And so then they make the exchange, but Mr. Anderson's like, well, I got to get my cattle back. Then they lead the fight with John Wayne.
Yeah.
And then John Wayne's dies.
It probably wouldn't be as impactful.
Because, you don't think it would
no,
be?
No, because, again, if it's about these kids becoming men, you can't have the father figure leading the charge, even if he dies. You can't have him leading the charge. They have to make this decision on their own. They have to make, and I'm saying this in quotes,
yeah.
they have to make these manly decisions
mm-hmm.
on their own. They can't let someone else fight their battles anymore. Mm-hmm. They can't have Nightlinger go up to the caravan of ladies in waiting and tell them to leave the boys alone
right.
because they're too young to have a hooker as their first experience.
right.
So Nightlinger's doing this. You have John Wayne standing up for the boys in multiple occasions.
Mm-hmm.
So you really can't and this isn't a story about John Wayne. This is a story about the kids, even though John Wayne gets probably most of the screen time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a story about their transition from schoolboys to mm-hmm. rootin' tootin' cowboys. And you can't do that if you have that father figure.
Sure.
Now, if you're looking at, you know, how...
Because I guess the transformation in the cowboys is the boys, but in Logan, it was actually Logan. So Logan has to be one fighting.
Logan, but if you think about...
Because majority of the kids don't have anything.
The way you want the cowboys to end is what they ultimately did with Logan, right?
So
you have this final scene where you have all the bad guys chasing the kids down. Logan comes in to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And spoilers for those of you that have not seen Logan. you know, they unleash X-24.
Yeah.
And while Logan is fighting X-24, it's the kids with their mutant powers that take down the rest of the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids then in Logan come into their own and realize that we can fight back. We don't have to run and be afraid. We can fight back too. If Logan's mm-hmm. willing to risk his life for us, we can do the same thing for each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the final scenes are exactly what is inspired from the cowboys into Logan, but I would imagine it's something around that area, and also the fact that your lead character dies in the movie and you have a nice little burial scene right there. So it's real interesting to see that parallel in there and where they can draw inspiration,
mm-hmm.
but also just the fact that here's a guy who doesn't want to have anything to do with a group of kids having to rely on these kids to do his one last thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of see that same thing happening in Logan as well. It's not the overall theme, but at some point Logan has to rely on these kids to help him. And if you think about it, the last 20 minutes of the movie where he gets to New Hope or wherever that they were going mm-hmm. to, and he passes out and the kids are taking care of him and the kids are doing all of these things and the kids are making these decisions. And he wakes up and is like, oh, you guys already know what you need to do. You don't need me,
mm-hmm.
but they do need that extra push in order to realize that we can use our powers to defend ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that hadn't happened in the movie except for X-23, up until that point in the film.
Right.
So that could be one of the inspirations from this. Cowboys was not well received when this movie came out.
Really? Is it because John Wayne died?
No, it's because of this idea that in order to become a man, you have to kill a man, that violence is the way to manhood.
Oh, well, sure. Like, that's an issue.
That's kind of the big overlying thing. And that how these boys were totally scared of sex and women in this movie,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was rather odd. I mean, it's kind of comical, but it's also really, really odd and misplaced, I think, in this movie.
Yeah, the tone of the cowboys seems to be a little all over the place at times, because for a good chunk of it, you kind of think this movie's a comedy. There's a lot of comedic moments in this film,
mm-hmm.
but then it's like, oh, a child is going to be stampeded by a cattle mm-hmm. feeder really
yep.
quick.
Yep, one and of the kids then, dies early on.
Yes.
Another one is threatened to have his throat slit.
Very, very violent. And then the scene with the ladies in the river is definitely not something you see coming. And mm-hmm. it's definitely more of an extended comedic moment than
right.
the little quips
right.
you get here and there
but
in the
again,
beginning of the film.
I think it's there because to show that these guys, that these boys are not there yet. They're not willing to mm-hmm. have sex with someone. They don't know what to do with a woman, especially mm-hmm. a woman who is like, hey, come on, I've got some things to show you.
Right.
And I think that, you know, is showing that they're not even ready for sex yet. But they're ready to kill a man.
Right.
So maybe on the way home, who knows? I mean, the movie ends with them on the way back home.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe now that they're quote unquote men, they will meet the caravan of ladies and lose their $50 each. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it just seemed that was the main, one of the biggest criticisms of the film was, okay, violence is okay for these guys to do, but the implications of having sex with hookers is an odd placement in the movie.
It kind of highlights the weird American mentality, though, about how violence is very much accepted, but mm-hmm. sexuality
yeah,
is
that's
this thing that
yeah.
we don't address, or
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, blah, 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 it's sexuality. Don't get too caught up in your pants there, kids.
Yeah. This movie would have been really, I think, really hard to have made, because you're dealing with kid actors, and most of them don't have a lot of speaking lines, except maybe, my name is Chester, everybody calls me Fats, or
yeah,
whatever,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
And that may be the extent of a lot of their dialogue, but I mean, my goodness. The director of this movie, Mark, what's his name, Mark Rydell, just trying to direct 11 kids would be a nightmare. And I just
like
can't imagine John Wayne having a lot of patience with 11 kids.
He does not seem like a man who wants to be around kids all the
time.
No.
So, and then of course you have all the cattle and horses. It's like, this is like the nightmare movie that you never want to make, right? Everyone says,
yeah.
don't work with kids, don't work with animals. And then you've got the cowboys, which is an example of how something that I think in the end does work as a story, but my gosh, I think the logistics of putting this together would have been frightening.
Yeah, because they're not CGI-ing a bunch of cattle
right.
into this frame
right.
and like 36 horses. So it's crazy how much you actually see, and these kids are riding so
mm-hmm.
much, and you have to kind of hold on to these cattle and get through all these scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It seems like a lot.
The other thing that I think is really interesting too, is I don't know when the, what is it? The NSSPCA or whatever it is, the National Council for Prevention and Cruelty of Animals.
Oh, sure.
I don't know when those rules kicked in for how you treat animals on set, but there's a lot of animal abuse in this movie as well, where you're seeing horses fall, where you're seeing cows being treated, you know, branded and being treated poorly in some situations, especially that whole rope scene where they're trying to break the horses.
Sure.
the, I guess it's, what is it, NSSPC? I forget what it is.
I don't know.
NCSPC? I don't forget what it is. But I would imagine that by today's standards, people would be having a fit.
Which is interesting.
Over that.
I remember watching this and thinking, well, it's not as bad as some Westerns we've watched. Because you get a lot of movies where there's like fight scenes.
Yeah, but this
it's
is like the river. 70s. If we're talking about the Wild Bunch from 60, whatever it was. 69.
Yeah.
That's a couple of years. I mean, you think that's a couple of years later, they're still doing this. And by the mid-80s, though, that pretty much had ended as far as the how you treat animals on set. To where you just can't have them trip or break their necks or brand them on the on the screen.
I mean, it's weird because even if you go to like rodeos, I remember filming a rodeo for work, and they were doing like cattle roping, and they're like, "Whoa, when you film, you have to cut away when they get the rope around the cow's neck."
You don't
because
have to.
We were told we had to.
Oh, well, when you're editing it. Yeah.
So it was like, well, you can't actually show people them. Like, cause I'm like, well, it's happening.
Right.
What are we doing?
Right. Yeah. Because what happens is the horse stops, the rope goes taut, and the calf basically gets a clothesline, where its neck flips. It does basically a 180. Its legs go out from under it. It flips under and it lands on its back, and the cowboy jumps off and ties it up and he's done.
It's a strange thing.
It is. It's definitely interesting to watch, for sure. And there's a lot of, there's not exactly that going on in the movie, but there is a lot of, let us rope a horse, and let us, while it is fighting, let us choke it with this single strand of rope.
Right.
And then you notice if they cut to a close-up later on, it's already wearing a harness on its head, even though it's a rope harness. Mm-hmm. But like minutes before, it's bucking and tearing away, and you can see it's choking the horse.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that would... would fly today.
Also, there was a really weird thing John Wayne did, because he tells these kids, "You're going to audition to move these cattle."
He wants to see if they're tough enough.
All right, so you got to ride this. We're going to break this horse, and if you can ride for 10 seconds, you get to tell me your name, and apparently you're hired. So the first kid, Slim, gets off of the fence and he's going to jump on. Mm-hmm. So what does John Wayne do to get this horse calm? He starts biting its ear. It was weird.
Yes.
I've never seen that before.
So he's biting the ear so the horse is distracted by the ear bite rather than the thing that is crawling on his back.
I assumed, but to watch John Wayne bite a horse's ear on a film is very strange to see.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, did you get some moments where you're like, oh, I can see where this was helped inspire Logan.
Oh yeah. I mean, watching an old grumpy aging out of his profession man deal with kids is definitely like a big portion of Logan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can really draw parallels between Nightlinger and Charles Xavier.
I don't think you could. And I don't think that anytime someone says, well, there's certain moments of the Cowboys that I drew inspiration from. They're not like saying everything in the Cowboys I put into Logan.
No.
Right? They're saying like there's certain themes or elements or shots like this big final fight in the woods, which is where the final battle in Logan happens. And in here, I think you could say, oh, that's kind of a cool setting to do this in this wide open territory area, which I would imagine would be in a Nebraska type area or a Dakotas area, considering that they're coming from Montana and they're going east to drop off the cattle. So it could be in this same kind of area.
And like we touched on earlier, having John Wayne die, a superhero of America, to watch him die and to have that moment and just being like taken down essentially by this young kid who is coming up, you know, like long hair.
Yeah.
So then you look at Logan, you have Logan and Wolverine killed by a younger version of himself, what we talked about. And then having these kids that looked up to him and wanted to be him and drew inspiration from him, having to deal with that death is certainly probably one of the biggest themes I think Logan would take from the Cowboys, because it's such, it really is an emotional scene when Mr. Anderson is being shot and having to fight.
Right.
And then, you know, Nightlinger isn't there. And so he rolls into this camp and the kids are kind of trying to take care of him.
Right.
And explaining it. And then Anderson, you know, gives his little quick speech before he goes the way of the wind. And it was very reminiscent of Logan and then mm-hmm. them standing around his grave and doing their final little spiel was
yeah.
really good.
Yeah, yeah. So Belle Fourche, where they are taking the cattle, is yeah. actually in South Dakota. Population just under 6,000. So from the time period that this movie takes place in to today,
yeah.
Hasn't grown really much.
No.
So there you go. It's interesting that their Wikipedia page does not mention anything about the cowboys being the destination for the trip. Although,
oh, someone's got to edit that.
Although this movie, The Cowboys, was not shot. I mean, this movie was shot anywhere but the locations that they were taking place in. This movie was shot in Colorado. It was shot in New Mexico. It was, where else was it shot? New Mexico, Colorado, and at the Warner Brothers Studios in Burbank.
Oh, nice. Well,
so, not even Montana, South Dakota.
I love Westerns when campfire scenes.
Yes.
You're like, oh, this is a soundstage.
Yes.
That tree looks odd.
Yeah.
The way you're putting this bush in front of the camera is yeah. strange.
And all those electric lights running everywhere.
Oh, we got a great, great day for night. What a crapshoot those shots are.
Oh, the one where the boy died.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he went down the side of the canyon.
It still just amazes me. And like, obviously, like, how could they have shot at night? Like, they were not going to be able to shoot at night all the way out there. It would have been so hard.
Yeah, it would have been really hard.
It would have been so hard. And so, like, they have to do it. But it's just so, I mean, it's just the tones are wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. We've talked to death about
that. Yeah. Well, plus, this is definitely. You look at this and you can tell it's a 70s film. It has this Kodachrome, maybe not even Kodachrome, kind of feel to it where all the colors are kind of bleached out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even a bleach bypass. It's effect. It's just everything is bleached out because of low film quality or low film stock or something. And the fact that it's too bright for the places that they're shooting.
Yeah.
And so it looks really just dry and barren. And it could have looked lush and beautiful. I mean, this could have looked like a John Ford movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's not.
There is some shots in the beginning when they're on Anderson's farm
mm-hmm.
that I thought it looked really good. I thought the tones
really?
Were really nice. And then I think it just continually dropped off as they were like, well, we got to deal with all these cattle and these kids. Let's stop lighting those very well.
So what's the bottom line for you on The Cowboys? This never made it into the finals for the American Film Institute, but it was nominated twice, once in 2005 for the top 100 film scores, which John Williams is the one that does the film score for this. So John Williams, who does Star Wars, Raiders of the Lost Ark, all of that stuff. And then it was nominated in 2006 for 100 Cheers. I don't know what the 100 Cheers stands for, but it's been nominated. 100 Years, 100 Cheers. Oh, America's Most Inspiring Movies list.
Mm-hmm.
It was nominated for that.
You know, the Cowboys is a pretty good movie. I think as far as Westerns go,
mm-hmm.
it has some elements that are not straight Western. Mainly your hero is going to die.
Right.
Right. But it does have those elements of a Western that get played out a lot as we mentioned
mm-hmm.
becoming a man means you're going to kill someone.
Right.
That is a pretty straightforward macho Western theme mm-hmm. that while serves the development of the kids in one sense is just troubling in the idea of what it means to be a man and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you don't have John Wayne being super racist.
No,
in this film,
he's totally not in this film.
Yeah, so that's always nice.
Of course, there aren't any Indians, so,
right? So that made a lot easier for him.
Maybe that is the maybe that's the cutting edge right there.
Right, but it is an enjoyable film. I feel like it was a little slow. It felt like it took forever
to get
through.
For as long as it is, yes,
you know.
And yes, I agree with you. It does feel a little bit long because the biggest action literally does not happen until the final 20 minutes of the film.
Yeah, most of it is let's get these kids to learn how mm-hmm. to like wrestle a horse and
right. It's
round
one
up
giant
cattle.
Training montage.
Yeah, it's a really long training montage. It's not even cut quick.
No, it's
so, there's definitely some fat that could have been trimmed out of the Cowboys.
Yeah,
but really, I think it's probably worth a watch, really.
Yeah, it really is. My dad really likes this movie. That's the only reason why I watched it. And I think this was the first Western that I actually watched when I was young. Because Western would come on, my dad would start watching. I'd just, like, leave the room.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because I would not want to watch it. But then dad was like, this is like the third time he'd started watching the Cowboys, and it come out on VHS or something, and mm-hmm. he had it. And he's like, oh, we're going to watch this. And I was like, okay, I'm too tired to just get up and leave the room, so I will sit and watch this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a bad movie. And I was like, oh, so Westerns can be like this. Okay, I'll check out more of these. So
right.
I started to have different ideas about Westerns when I watched the Cowboys when I was probably a freshman in college. I'd come mm-hmm. home and he was watching it. So, yeah, it's got its moments.
You know, it was weird as... you start watching this film, and John Wayne's kind of being a curmudgeon on his farm. And
right,
people
right.
aren't working for him, and he's like, blah, 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 I'm John Wayne. There was a sense of like, oh, I get it. I get why people like John Wayne. He's like yelling at these young guys because they're lazy, and no mm-hmm. one's like him when he used mm-hmm. to be. Mm-hmm. And I can see how that's really appealing. Before, I always thought it was annoying. I'm like, John Wayne, just like take a chill pill, bro.
Right.
But I was like, oh, I get it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I think I have a better understanding of John Wayne,
mm-hmm.
even though this isn't probably the most John Wayne-iest of the John Wayne
no,
films.
No, it's definitely not.
But I guess there was something about him, because he's getting kind of old in yeah. this one, so yeah. he's getting towards the end of his career,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking. So, I don't know. It was interesting
to see
Wayne.
Yeah, this is a few years after True Grit.
Okay.
So, and I don't remember how many films Wayne had after this. But it probably was not a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was. Who knows?
Who knows? John Wayne did a lot of movies.
Let's see. He worked until 76. So he had, from the Cowboys, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 movies after that, including Rooster Cogburn, which was second to last film. So, yeah.
So, I don't know. It was, I get it. I get why these are appealing now. I don't know why it took me so long just to get the feeling of why people like John Wayne and mm-hmm. what he reminds him of, this mm-hmm. idea of American, you know, grit, and we survive out here. Maybe it's because we've been talking about that at work a lot, like the idea of we live out here on the Western Plains
yeah.
and we're hard and we get it and we yeah. don't take any crap from
we
anyone.
We have grit.
Yeah. I also like what Fats said, there's no Sundays west of Omaha.
Right.
That was a pretty good line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So it's not a bad movie. It's worth checking out.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think it's one of the greatest movies. I don't think this is one, if we were talking about Westerns, that I would say, oh, we have to watch this movie.
No.
But as far as finding where some inspiration came from for the approach to Logan, I think it's worth checking out.
Yeah, it's definitely, if you've got an extra couple of hours on a Sunday and you're not wrangling up some cattle, I think this is a decent use of your time.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely.
So, next week we're off.
Right. We're off
but
next week.
We are continuing our deconstruction of Logan influences with
Paper Moon.
Oh boy.
And this will be interesting because unfortunately the two people I would have loved to have brought in for this discussion
yeah.
have both passed away.
No.
But Paper Moon was shot in and around Hayes.
Right.
And it had its debut here in Hayes at the Fox Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so the O'Neills were here and spent time here. I believe on the Is it the 35th anniversary of the film or the 40th anniversary of the film? If you have that DVD, O'Neill talks about his time here in Hayes a little bit. But the problem is the two local film historians that were around when this happened and have a lot of information about what was going on when this film was being made
mm-hmm.
have both passed away. So we've mm-hmm. lost that part of history, oral or otherwise, written mm-hmm. or otherwise, that talks about the Hayes City, Kansas connection to Paper Moon. But we're going to talk about look at Paper Moon in 2 weeks. It is a movie about a father and a daughter who are grifting their way across the Great Depression. So
yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
I only found out this movie.
I haven't seen this movie since I was 15.
I just learned about this movie a year ago.
Oh, really?
And how we were talking about weird films and stuff mm-hmm. that happened in Hayes, and this got brought up. And so I'm interested to see if I doubt I'll notice any locations, but who knows? I don't really know where it was shot.
Yeah.
But it was around. It was around here.
Yep.
So that'll be in 2 weeks on Zach on Film. We're going to watch Paper Moon. In the meantime, you're going to have time to kill in those next 2 weeks. You have majorspoilers.com. and you find this podcast posting page and you give your thoughts about the Cowboys and how you interpret it, how it influences Logan, which we watched 2 weeks ago. And then after you're done with that, click on that podcast page where you can find a new favorite podcast. You can listen to the Major Spoilers podcast. You can listen to the Top 5 Critical Hit. There's so many podcasts for you to listen to that you're going to enjoy so many of them.
Yep, many of them there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And click on that Amazon.com link where you can do all of your Amazon shopping. It's not going to cost you any extra when you use that link, but a little bit of that money will come back to Major Spoilers to help keep this enterprise going.
Yep. All right, everybody, until next time.
That's it for Zach on Film. We'll see you next time.
Yep.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.